May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable and pleasing unto God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The epistle lesson this evening, which Luke continues as he tells us exactly what happened during those days after the resurrection, after Jesus appeared to the multitude, and then talks about the ascension. He focuses mainly on what will happen next and the promise of what would happen next, and that is the coming of the Holy Spirit. And here in just a couple of days, a couple of weeks, we will celebrate with Sunday, our Pentecost, with the coming of the Holy Spirit. These services are so close together with Easter and the hope of the resurrection and then the ascension and then the sending forth of the Holy Ghost. All of these go so close together, so it's real hard to separate one and only talk about one. In this we remember that as our Lord ascended into heaven, we have hope that we will go there as well. But part of that hope of us going to heaven is the sending of the Holy Spirit. What I found interesting, though, here in Acts is the disciples asked the Lord once again about when will the kingdom be restored to Israel? That has come up over and over and over again in the Gospels. And if you know anything about the Jewish history, that one of the things that they were looking to for Jesus was, would He restore the kingdom of Israel? And He keeps trying to tell the people, much the same way He probably tries to tell us. The goal is bigger than what we have. We kind of put God in a mold and said, we expect you to do this. And our Lord is constantly saying, but this is what I really mean. Because He is telling His disciples, the kingdom is here. The kingdom is here, but it's going to look a lot different than you expect it to look. In fact, it will look a lot better than you expect it to look. And He gives them some hope. He gives them some things that is just as important for us today. First, He tells them that they will receive the Holy Spirit. The power with which to do ministry is the reception of the Holy Spirit. We still hold on to that. In fact, sacramentally, the bishop prays the prayer that we would receive the Holy Spirit and anoints us with oil. And we understand that that is where the power to do ministry comes from. When I have earlier in life, I think everybody who starts out in ministry has to do children's sermons at one time. I used to, in explaining the Holy Spirit to children, which is difficult, and you quickly end up in heresy if you take it to the next level. But I used to take a battery and a flashlight and say, without this battery, this flashlight does not work. And that's how it is for us to try to do ministry without the Holy Spirit. It will not work. And so that is where our power comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people want to focus on the types of gifts that the Holy Spirit, and some of them are miraculous, and we need to be very careful that we don't major in the minors there and start looking at the gifts themselves, the individual gifts, but remember that it is the gift of the Holy Spirit to do ministry. And we may go and say, well, we want this one, but God knows that we need this one. Because the most important one is the gift of the Holy Spirit. They will manifest themselves as they need to for us to do ministry. Because He says, the reason that we have the Holy Spirit is we shall be witnesses. That's taken directly from Acts, where our Lord tells the disciples, you shall be witnesses. Now notice, He doesn't say, you may be witnesses. He doesn't say, I want you to be witnesses. He just gives a statement of fact, you shall be witnesses. And one of the things that we have to understand, whether we want to or not, we are witnesses. Whether we want to or not, we are all witnesses. The question that we have to ask ourselves, are we good witnesses or are we bad witnesses? Because the very nature that we are here, we're witnesses. We tell people this all the time about leadership. You're going to be a leader. Now, some people will look at you and say, well, because of you, I know how not to be a leader. Or they can look at you and say, because of you, I know how to be a leader. We are witnesses. people see. There may be something on our car that identifies what church we go to. We may wear a cross around our neck. We may wear a collar. And people will see and recognize us belonging, taking the name of Christ. Therefore, we will be witnesses. So it's not an option of whether to be a witness or whether not to be a witness. What we have to do, what we have to pray is, Lord, make me a good witness. Let me be a good witness. Now, I understand we are human, and I understand we will fall. And I understand that sometimes we will say things that will be misinterpreted, and we will do things that will be misinterpreted. That's just part of being human. But at every aspect where we can help it, we pray and ask that the Lord will let us to be a good witness. Again, requires the Holy Spirit coming and giving us the power and the grace to do that ministry. And then he tells them the concentric circles. You will be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. If we were to take this now, Jerusalem would be the town that we live in. To the disciples, when they heard Jerusalem, they recognized that it was the town with which they lived in. And then he expanded their view a little bit more and then said Judea. We could take this in 21st century America and say, well, now we're moving from the town that we live in, be it wherever, to the state that we live in. We've now taken that next step. And then he expands their vision just a little bit more and says, and unto Samaria. Well, now we're going to the nation that we live in. And then he goes even further and says, to the uttermost part of the earth. And that would be the same today. That we will be witnesses here, we will be witnesses in our state, we will be witnesses in our nation, and we will be witnesses to the uttermost part of the earth. He is giving the promise of what he's already said when we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses. Now, we are standing over 2,000 years from when this statement was made. None of us are Jewish. None of us live in Israel. And we understand that the disciples did exactly what they were told to do. They did exactly what our Lord asked them to do. We stand in a line. We can trace our bishops back to the apostles. As the apostles ministered that unbroken chain of the church down throughout to where we are today. They did what God was calling them to do. We have to understand, though, that it does not stop with us. Maybe if the Lord tarries 2,000 years from now, somebody will be preaching and people will be listening. Will we be part of that chain? Of that chain of witnesses that took that wonderful message of hope and salvation, the central message that we have, took it into the world. And took it into the world. Now, we could be worried and say, well, you know, I can be a witness in my town. I don't know about my state. I don't know about my nation. I surely don't know about the ends of the earth. Well, let me tell you. Let God concern Himself with where we will be a witness. Let us concern ourselves with being a witness. Let us concern ourselves with being the witness that we need to be. And God will take care of where we are a witness. But the calling is still clear. As the resurrection showed the promise of God, as the ascension showed the promise of God, as the coming of the Holy Spirit shows the promise of God, we take that same promise to the world around us so we can be His witnesses. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.